الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
This queen was what we call today very democratic, or shura, a better word. She would seek the advice of her followers. And subhanAllah, we see in this queen many good qualities before Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided her through her hikmah. You can see from her personality that she was very wise. And her wisdom ended up leading her into Islam. Because al-aql, the mind, would lead us toward truth. Would lead us to understand the message of the Anbiya by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the non-believers on the Day of Judgment, no matter how intelligent they were on the face of the earth, on the Day of Judgment, when they see the punishment and they see hellfire, what would they say? وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. They would say, if we hear, if we used to hear, or if we had understanding, we wouldn't have been in hellfire. So they say we didn't have any understanding when we were on earth and we didn't have any hearing. So the true mind and the true understanding is the understanding that would lead a person towards the truth and lead the person towards Islam. She was soliciting advice from her mala. Al-mala in Quran means the chiefs or the leaders of the society. Al-mala.
قالت يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في أمري.
She said, O chiefs, advise me in this case of mine. And then she said,
ما كنت قاطعة أمرا حتى تشهدون.
I decide no case till you are present with me and give me your opinions. She said, I want your advice in this case. And then she said, and you know me, I never take a decision until I seek your advice. Shura. Their response was,
قَالُوا نَحْنُ أُولُو قُوَّةٍ وَأُولُو بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ.
They said, we have great strength and great ability for war. They said, if you want us to fight, we're ready. The army is prepared, it's powerful, we're ready to go to war. And then they said,
وَالْأَمْرُ إِلَيْكِ فَانْظُرِي مَاذَا تَأْمُرِينَ.
But it is for you to command, so think over what you will command. So their opinion was, we are ready to do whatever you want us to do. If you want us to fight, we're ready to fight. So they gave her the green light to go to war. Actually, maybe they encouraged her. They said, we are ready to fight. It's your decision now. Her wisdom now shows up. She wants to deal with the situation in the softest way possible, and confrontation could be an option, but later. Why start with confrontation when there are other means? And we know that that was the policy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dealing with situations. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described as ما خير بين أمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be offered two options, he would always choose the easiest. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would try to avoid confrontation, whether it is with Quraysh or any other people, as much as he can. And this was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why when in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah an agreement was reached, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it, even though many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were reluctant to accept it, they felt that we're ready to fight. But we should not understand that this means we give up principles or we compromise in the religion, as we find in the peace process that's happening now. That is something different. That is not peace. That is giving up all of your principles and giving up the Muslim land. That's not called peace. It's misleading. The naming itself is misleading. What was the response of Al-Malika, the queen? She said,
قَالَتْ إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ.
She said, verily kings, when they enter a town, they despoil it and make the most honorable amongst its people the lowest, And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approved what she said, and thus they do. وَكَذَلَكَ يَفْعَلُونَ What did she mean by this? When the kings enter into her land, they corrupt it. She means that when you enter into a confrontation with another nation, king or president or government, whatever, when you enter into confrontation with another state or nation, and the other nation wins through war, when they enter into the land, they would occupy it, and they would disrupt the system that was there because they entered by force. And because they were fighting another government, because who's the one who took the decision to fight? It's the government. They would make that government and the king or whoever is in position of responsibility the lowest. Because they are our enemy. I won against you. You were the one who was fighting me. You're going to be the lowest. Most likely they killed them. But then they need assistance from the local people. So who do they promote? They usually promote the lowest class who are enemies of the former government. And that's something that you find always in wars between states. So the queen over here is saying, if we enter into a war with Sulaiman alayhi salam, and he wins through war, then us, the government, we're going to be done with. He's going to get rid of us. And he's going to take our land as ghanima. He's going to invade our land, occupy it, and he will do corruption to our land because she is assuming that Sulaiman is like any other king. She doesn't know that Sulaiman is different. He's a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find how corrupt the Muslim lands were under the European occupation. And now we are still suffering from that corruption until this moment, because they entered through a state of war. So she said, I will send them a gift. Rather than fighting them,
وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ
But verily I am going to send him a present and see with what answer the messengers return. This method of dealing really shows her intelligence, because it's going to work if Sulaiman alayhi salam was not a prophet. Because why do kings invade lands? Why do governments go in war to other countries? Money. To take that land as a ghanima. So she wants to send a gift to Sayyidina Sulaiman to convince him that we're going to pay you rather than go to war with us and spend a lot of money in war. We're going to give you whatever you want. Here, I'll send you a gift and see what the response will be. She called it a gift. We can maybe call it a gift, but it also has to it. It seems that it's a little bit tilting towards being a bribe. And then she said, I will see what happens. فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجَعَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ I'm going to see what the messengers, what the response is. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ سُلَيْمَانَ So when the messengers with the present came to Sulaiman, قَالَ أَتُمِدُّونَنِي بِمَالٍ Sulaiman alayhi salam said, will you help me in wealth? فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا آتَاكُمْ What Allah has given me is better than what He has given to you. Sayyidina Sulaiman said, are you trying to give me money? He said, first of all, what Allah has given me is better than what you have. What can you offer me? And many of the Mufassirin say that Sulaiman alayhi salam here was not referring to the material possessions that he has, even though his material possessions are better than theirs. But Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was referring to the nubuwah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, the prophethood and the ilm of religion. What I have is better than what you have. And then he said, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بِهَدِيَّتُكُمْ تُفْرَحُونَ You are the ones who are happy with gifts. You cannot buy me with this gift. This gift is not what will make me happy and pleasant. You are the ones who could be bought off by gifts. Gifts make you happy. But this strategy will not work with me. And then Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam said, ارْجِعْ إِلَيْهِمْ فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّهُمْ بِجُنُودٍ لَا قِبَلَ لَهُمْ بِهَا وَلَنُخْرِجَنَّهُمْ مِنْهَا أَذِلَّةً وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ He said, Then Solomon, Sulaiman, said to the chief of her messengers who brought the present, Go back to them We verily shall come to them with hosts that they cannot resist, and we shall drive them out of their land in disgrace, and they will be abased. Sayyidina Sulaiman said, go back and tell her that we are going to send her an army that she will not be able to resist, and we are going to drive them out of their land in a state of humility. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, don't bring me these gifts. Take your gifts back. And he refused the gift. So the messengers went back to her and told her he refused the gift. He realized this was the first step in her realizing that this man is not a man of dunya. He's not a man of this world. He's not seeking dunya. He's up to something else. And that was the first step for her to come towards the religion. She decided not to go to war, even though Sulaiman alayhi salam gave her a clear threat. She decided she's not going to go to war and she's going to go and meet him personally. She prepared her delegation and they went out to meet with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sayyidina Sulaiman, when she was on her way, said to his chiefs,
قال يا أيها الملأ أيكم يأتيني بعرشها قبل أن يأتوني مسلمين.
He said, O chiefs, which of you can bring me her throne before they come to me surrendering themselves in obedience? What did the Hudhud describe, the bird? What did the bird describe in the kingdom of Saba? He described the throne. The throne was the symbol of their kingdom. The throne was their pride. This was a unique thing that only the kingdom of Saba had. It was the symbol of their kingdom. Sayyidina Sulaiman said, bring it to me before they come to me. Now you might ask the question, how come Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to bring the throne? What's the reason? Well, the scholars, the Mufassirin, have responded to that. They said that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted to show her a miracle. The Anbiya alayhi salam, they exhibit their miracles in front of the people to prove the authenticity of the message. They do that. One of the methods they do that is through the miracles, presenting the miracles to the society. And we know that something unique about Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was his kingdom. هَبْلِ مُلْكَ اللَّهِ يَنْبَغِ لِأَحْدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. Oh Allah, give me a kingdom that will occur to nobody after me. So the kingdom of Sulaiman was his miracle. And he wanted to present to her some of the powers that are under his control by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show her that he's a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's not just a king. Because this was something out of the capability of kings in that time. So he wanted to bring the throne before she arrives. The first offer was made by Ifrit min al-Jinn. Ifrit is a name given to somebody who has excelled in his field and reached to the highest levels. It's called Ifrit. So Ifrit min al-Jinn, a Ifrit of the Jinn, is a Jinn who is at the highest levels of power among the Jinn. You call that Jinn Ifrit. So he's not just a jinn, but he's an ifrit from the jinn. Powerful jinn. And the word nowadays in Arabic has been always used in reference to jinn, but in the Arabic language it could mean somebody who has excelled and reached a high, very high level in that particular field. Ifrit min al-jinn, he made an offer. He said,
قال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك وإني عليه لقوي أمين.
A عفريت, a strong one from the jinn, said, I will bring it to you before you rise from your place, and verily I am indeed strong and trustworthy for such work. His credentials, his resume was that I'm strong and trustworthy. And I can bring it to you before you rise up from your council. It is said that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam used to sit in Majlis al-Qadha, his government seat, his throne. He used to sit in it from Fajr until Dhuhr. So dependent on when this offer was made, we can know that it's a few hours. And from Yemen to Jerusalem is maybe 4 hours flight by airplane. 4 or 5 hours. That's how long it would take by air. So this Ifrit was around that speed. Allahu alam exactly how long it was, but they say that he used to sit between Fajr and Dhuhr. Even though according to the standard of that time, this was something that was out of the reach of anyone to bring it in a few hours, when the methods of transportation in their time was horse and camel. Nevertheless, there was a better offer, and Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam turned this offer down. A few hours was not enough, because he got another offer from الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ, the one who has knowledge of the book. And this shows you the power of knowledge. The one who has knowledge had a better offer than the ifrit of the jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ.
One with whom was knowledge of the scripture said, I will bring it to you within the twinkling of an eye. Before your eye blinks, the throne is going to be in front of you. Ilm, we know that is knowledge. What type of knowledge? We don't know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said al-kitab, the scripture. What scripture? Was it the scripture of Dawood? Was it a different scripture? What exactly? We do not involve in this discussion, because this is ghaib. It is unknown. What we know is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran, and we do not follow the Israeliyat stories. We don't go after that, but we stop where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at what information Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with. We know that's knowledge. And we learn from this that knowledge has power. With the twinkling of an eye, the throne was right there in front of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. This is power under the hands of Sulaiman. What was the response of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam?
فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًّا عِنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ.
When he saw it placed before him, he said, this is by the grace of my Lord. He didn't say, this is by the grace of the one who has knowledge. He said, this is by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's very important for us always to believe and to say, whatever good I have done is from Allah. And whatever mistakes I have done are from myself. Whatever good we do or happens to us or anybody does is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Sayyidina Sulaiman said, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me to see whether I am grateful or ungrateful. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and we talked about this a lot, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you is a test from Allah for you to see if you will be grateful or not. And then he said, وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. And whoever is grateful, truly his gratitude is for who? For his own self. You're not going to benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all by being grateful to Him. You're benefiting yourself.
وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌ كَرِيمٌ.
Whoever is ungrateful, certainly my Lord is rich, free of all needs and bountiful. If you are not grateful, believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need you. We need to tell ourselves this, because sometimes we feel that the money we pay, we're doing a favor to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we donate of our time or effort to the religion of Allah, sometimes we brag about it. The religion of Allah does not need me, it does not need you, it does not need anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient of all needs. We are doing this for our own benefit. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam said, قَالَ نَكِّرُوا لَهَا عَرْشَهَا. He said, disguise her throne for her. Change the outlook of the throne a little bit. Make some alterations to it. Why?
قَالَ نَكِّرُوا لَهَا عَرْشَهَا نَنْظُرْ أَتَهْتَدِي أَمْ تَكُونُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ.
To see, will she be one of those who recognize it, or she would be one of those who won't? So they made some alterations to her throne, changed the way it looks a little bit. But the essence of it was the same. The uniqueness and the greatness of that throne was untouched.
فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ قِيلَ أَهَاكَذَا عَرْشُكَ.
So when she came, it was said to her, is your throne like this? This is a straightforward question. Yes or no question. Is this your throne? What should the answer be? Yes or no? Now if she said yes, it looks like her throne, but it's a little bit different. And if she said no, it's true that there are some alterations to it, but it's very, very similar to my throne. So she avoided the yes and no answer, and she said, قَالَتْ كَأَنَّهُهُ. A very diplomatic answer. She said, it is as though it were the very same. So it's not a yes answer, and it's not a no answer, and this is part of her wisdom and hikmah. She didn't give a straight answer of yes or no, and she made her answer right in between because it looks like her throne, but it's a little bit different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُوتِينَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا وَكُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, knowledge was bestowed on us before her, and we were submitting to Allah.
وَصَدَّهَا مَا كَانَتْ تَعْبُدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِن قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ.
And that which she used to worship besides Allah has prevented her from Islam, for she was of a disbelieving people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what prevented her from being a Muslim is because the way she was brought up. Refusing the gift was one step for her towards Islam. Bringing the throne was a second step for her towards Islam. It was said to her, enter as-sarh. What is as-sarh? As-sarh is a special palace that was built for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. This palace had very amazing things in it, one of which was the flooring of this palace. The floor was made out of glass, transparent glass. And under that glass was a flowing river. So this palace is erected on water, and the floor was glass. Glass was something that the people in that time might not have known, this transparent material. So when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam told her to enter into this palace, when she saw it, what did she think? She thought it was water. So she raised up her skirt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قِيلَ لَهَا دُخُلِ الصَّرْحِ فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ حَسِبَتْهُ لُجَّةً وَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقَيْهَا.
But when she saw it, she thought it was a pool, and she tucked up her clothes, uncovering her legs. Something very embarrassing. Why is it embarrassing? Because it shows her ignorance. It shows that she's backward considering the advanced stage that Sayyidina Sulaiman was at. She doesn't know about this technology. She was raising up her skirt, trying to walk into that water. So it was embarrassing for her. Why did Sayyidina Sulaiman do all of this? Again, to show her what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. It's part of the miracle of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him to show to her the truth of his message. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam told her,
قَالَ إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّدٌ مِّن قَوَارِيرٍ.
He said, verily it is a glass surface with water underneath it. In that moment, that was the third step towards Islam for her. Finally, Bilqis submitted and said,
قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
She said, my Lord, verily, I have wronged myself and I submit to Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. And she became a Muslim. That's the end of the story in Quran. And again, we don't go beyond that because there's many fairy tales about what happened after that. And there is no proof of the authenticity of any of these stories. They say that Sulaiman alayhi salam married Balqis, and it is turned into a romantic story. And we do not, again, get in this, because if it's not true, it is being very disrespectful with the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we avoid it completely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, whatever has been mentioned in Quran is for us to learn the lessons from, al-ibrah. And whatever has not been mentioned in Quran has not been mentioned because there's no ibrah in it. There's no lesson in it. And we need to be practical and learn what will benefit us. Al-ilm al-nafa', the beneficial knowledge. And get away from the knowledge that doesn't do us any good and doesn't have any practicality or applications for it. Essence of the story is that at the end, Bilqis became a Muslim after she saw what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Sulaiman.